EF United, a premier Cold Fusion conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Hey, well, good morning. My name is Jeremy Kadlick from Edgewood Solutions. Thank you very much for attending my session. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at SQL Server 2005 Express Edition. So I just want to ask a couple questions before I jump into the slides. How many people today are using SQL Server at any version? Okay, great. How many people are using SQL Server 2000 MSDE? A couple people, okay. What about SQL Server 2005 Express? A couple more people, okay, wonderful. So what I want to try to cover in today's session is actually taking a look at the product, taking a look at some of the advancements it's made, focus a lot on the interface, because there's a big difference for those people who haven't seen 2005 yet. You're going to see the new interface and be really surprised to see how much it really has changed from the 2000 interface. And there's quite a bit of a learning curve there, but certainly something that can be overcome. But there again, as long as you can rely back on your core T-SQL statements, you certainly will have no issue working with SQL Server 2005. From there, I want to talk a little bit about some of the kind of best practices, as well as dive into two or three kind of administration type items that I think all developers should know in terms of troubleshooting and finding information from SQL Server. So with that being said, I'm going to take a look at identifying some session goals. So I think there are going to be questions that everybody here would have. So I kind of want to walk through those one at a time. From there, just talk through the installation and licensing, and I'm going to be very quick about that and just kind of talk about the high-level items and also make sure everyone understands, at least at a high level, how the licensing works for 2005 Express Edition and how you can look into more information in terms of redistributing the product to your clients. From there, we'll take a look at the Management Studio, which is a replacement for Enterprise Manager and Query Analyzer in the SQL Server 2000 world. From there, we'll take a look at some development administration tasks, and then as well as take a look at some additional resources, because unfortunately, the Express Edition, as well as all the other editions of SQL Server, are huge. One of the things that's really great about the Express Edition is this is a technology you can start with, be able to learn from, and be able to apply those same skills to the standard workgroup or enterprise editions of SQL Server. So everything you learn here, you can apply to those other editions, which is really great. If you do have questions, please stop me. We only have an hour. But if you do have questions, if it's pertinent to that topic, please raise your hand. I will definitely recognize you, repeat the question, and try to address that in real time. If it is a long question, I'll probably ask that we can talk about that a little bit afterwards. But if you do have a question, I do encourage you to ask them, because I'm sure the question you have, someone else on the other side of the room has as well. Finally, talk about surveys. Please fill out your surveys. I definitely want to get the feedback. I definitely want to learn how to improve. Definitely want to get more information and better information out to you guys, hopefully at some point in time in the future. One last item before I go on. For those of you that don't know, Microsoft actually released another version of the Express Edition from the time this presentation was originally written and the material that's in your books till now. And they released what's called the Advanced Edition. And there's some additional features in there, and I wanted to try to cover some of that information. As I researched it more and more, I was really concerned I didn't want to completely disregard what's in the slides, but I wanted to try to incorporate some of those items. So I want to make sure you do know that there have been some minor modifications, but definitely not that drastic. Okay, so just want to introduce myself real quick. My name is Jeremy Kadlick from Edgewood Solutions. For those of you that don't know me, our organization is focused just on Microsoft SQL Server from an administration and development perspective. So if you have some SQL Server needs, feel free to take a look at us. Our website, edgewoodsolutions.com. We've also had a booth here at CF United this year, so feel free to stop by. As it indicates, our company is focused just on administration and development tasks. We also do quite a bit more. One of the things I'm sure a lot of people are interested in is SQL Server 2005 adoption rates. And one of the things we actually did is we actually put out a survey, and we had about 450 people actually respond to that. And what we've done is we've taken all that information, aggregated it, and have it out on our website where you can actually go and find out about, you know, risk factors, particular issues, particular technologies people are interested in, time frames by industry, so on and so forth. So definitely encourage you to take a look at that as well. Another site we just actually released is a site by the name of msqltips.com. And it's actually a daily newsletter that we're putting together. Very clean, very easy to take a look at. We have one tip that goes out every day. You can go ahead and take a look at that site. And if you're interested, go ahead and register. I'm also one of the leaders at the Northern Virginia SQL Server Users Group. I'm local here to this area. But just by a show of hands, how many people attend user group meetings? A couple times a year? Okay. For those of you who don't, I definitely am happy to see so many people that do. But for those of you that don't, I definitely encourage you to try to seek out some other individuals in your neighborhood, in your local area, whether it's people you work with or at other companies that have the same technology interests. Although I spend a lot of time running the group, in terms of lining up speakers, sponsors, just general logistics, it's definitely well worth it, not only for myself, but for everyone in the group. So if you do have the time and do have the interest, I certainly encourage you to build a team to actually go ahead and build a user group in your local area. The benefits are just invaluable. So I want to talk about session goals, and hopefully these are questions that everybody has, and hopefully I'll be able to answer these kind of throughout the session. So the first is, what is SQL Server 2005 Express, and how is it any different? Some people might have an idea now, but hopefully we'll address that and make sure there's a clear distinction between this version and others. Hopefully it's a compelling enough difference that the next immediate question becomes, how do I get my copy? Once you have your copy, how do I go through and install this thing and get it up and running, because I want to use it? From there, figure out how to create a database, your tables, and your code, and then how do I perform some just general administration tasks? There again, not making you a DBA, but if you have an issue with your code, how can you troubleshoot some of those things, at least at a high level? And then finally, where can I find more information? Any other questions anybody has? Anything else you'd like to try to address? Shut down. Okay.
Yeah, shut down.
Okay. So the other question was figure out how to shut down Management Studio without any problems. I'll actually take a look at that a little bit, and I'll explain what I actually have on my machine and part of the reason why I have my machine set up the way I do. So that's a good question. I definitely want to make sure I address it, and if I don't, make sure I cover it at the end. Anything else? Yes. Okay. So the comment here is make sure that you identify the port that SQL Server 2005 Express is listening on to make sure that that's communicated back to ColdFusion. So when you build your connection strings, you can specify the port number. And when you did that, did you have to use a semicolon and then the port number to connect? The default port, okay.
And you have to know where to look for it.
Okay. Port, yeah. Okay. So the comment here, just to make sure everybody hears this, is that the port wasn't specified. You need to turn on TCP/IP in your connection manager, and I'll actually show how to do that. And then from there, make sure you use that port number when you connect via ColdFusion.
It's under IP all, under the connection.
Okay. Well, we'll get to the connection manager when we get there. I want you two guys to actually speak up about that. Anything else? Go ahead.
Which one are they handing out upstairs on CD?
I'm pretty sure Microsoft is handing out an Express edition.
Is it the most recent one?
I couldn't say. I'm not sure. You can talk to them and ask them and find that out. So the question is, what is Microsoft giving away? And just kind of take another step back. With Express edition, and there again, I know just about everybody here uses ColdFusion, but Microsoft does have offerings with Express editions of a web developer as well as a VB developer. So if you're interested in that, you can pick that up at their booth up in the vendor area. There's two editions of SQL Server Express, and I'll jump into that when I get to the versions. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you'd highlight the difference.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and move on. So as far as SQL Server 2005 Express Edition, this is a free version. So whoever expected Microsoft to give anything away for free? Not too many people. I see some chuckles. So it's really great to see that there is a database management platform that's basically fully functional. The database engine is the same engine that's used in the standard and enterprise editions of SQL Server 2005. The difference is this, though. There's limitations in the number of CPUs, the amount of memory, and the database size, but there is no limitation on the number of users. And the 2000, to make a comparison back to SQL Server 2000 MSDE, there's what was called a query governor. So there actually was a throttling mechanism, so to speak, to make sure that there wasn't a high level of, in some respects, concurrency or a great deal of transactions. This is actually removed now.
How many databases?
The question is, how many databases can you have with MSDE? I apologize. What's the number of databases with SQL Server 2005 Express? I know I've seen at least a couple hundred on one instance. I don't know exactly what the exact number is. That's something we could research and find out, but I have seen at least 100 databases on an instance. So the question is the 1 gigabyte limitation with SQL Server 2005 Express Edition a limitation on the amount of memory it can use or the physical memory that's available? And it would be the amount of memory it can use. Okay? So what this really is a replacement for SQL Server 2000 MSDE. And this is an actual instance or an actual version of SQL Server 2005 that can be redistributed with your applications. So I'll actually show where you can go out to Microsoft's website and actually register your version and be able to redistribute that with your application. And there again, there are no limitations in terms of environment. So if you want to use this in production, it's production ready. Talk about advanced services, and this is one of the big changes from the time I actually developed this presentation for CF United and today. And probably about the last 60 days or so, Microsoft has released an advanced edition of SQL Server 2005 Express. Two of the big features are reporting services and full-text search. And this is kind of where I had some internal strife about how much I wanted to cover this. But because these two topics are huge, these could be separate topics on their own, they could be very valuable to the Cold Fusion community. The first being reporting services is actually Microsoft's enterprise reporting solution where you can actually build, deploy, and manage reports across your organization. And you can actually do that now with the Express Edition. Same thing with full text search. You guys manage websites, right? Searching is key to all your websites, right? Does anybody have a website where they don't search? You have a website where you don't search. Okay. Well, with full text search, what you actually do is build an index and be able to get basically key data out into an index and be able to query that on a much granular level. A lot of times what happens is you have to build a bunch of dynamic SQL, correct? Well, full text search, that's a whole other option where you can actually use a set of T-SQL commands by the name of contains, and you can actually go through and be able to query that on a much easier level. So certainly if you're looking into searching technologies, I definitely encourage full text search. Let's talk a little bit about versions. So kind of a comparison here, a quick matrix of the different versions of SQL Server 2005. So in terms of limitations, there's SSIS, which in the SQL Server 2000 world is DTS, or Data Transformation Services. And you still can use SSIS against an Express Edition, but you have to have a license from either a standard or a workgroup edition. Same thing with full text search. That's available across the board and something you can use now in Express. Reporting services is available as well, but analysis services, which is Microsoft's core SQL Server BI solution, is actually not accessible directly with Express Edition, but you can extract the data out and then load it to another version of SQL Server. So you can still use your Express Edition data for BI solutions. You'd have to extract that data with SSIS first. So talk about licensing here. Go ahead. Okay. So the question was, are backups supported with the Express Edition of SQL Server? Yes, they are. The T-SQL command backup and the T-SQL command restore are fully accessible. What's not shipping with the Express Edition is SQL Server Agent, which is a service that supports SQL Server in terms of scheduling. And that service is not available. So there's a couple workarounds there. The first one being using another SQL Server to perform your backups, or using something like a WinAT command to perform your backups, or manually performing your backups. But the commands themselves are there. SQL Server Agent is not there to handle the scheduling, though. Does that make sense? Okay.
Now, on this part, what does that little B mean? Is it like yes, the faster B?
I think that was just a notation to myself. There was some, as the session was being developed, I knew the advanced edition was coming out, but it wasn't available publicly. So there was some kind of verification that I wanted to do there.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, just ignore that. As far as redistribution is concerned, I want to point everybody to this website. This is actually where you can go gather information about the redistribution rights as well as register your application. So I definitely encourage you, if you're starting to embed the Express Edition in your applications, pop out to this website. You can take a quick look. But I definitely did not want to overlook this as you guys move forward. Talk about installation. We're going to talk about a couple prerequisites in installation order, the download locations, how to verify installation, and some of the post-installation tasks. And that's where we're going to get into the items of the ports, as well as the surface area configuration manager. Are there any questions before I start talking about the installation? Okay. So as far as prerequisites are concerned, definitely want to make sure everyone knows you need to have the Windows installer. From the Windows installer, you have to have the .NET Framework 2.0 as well as the XML core services. And also make sure all your service packs are up to date on your version of Windows. And there again, Windows XP does support the Express Edition as well as the server versions of Windows. Talking about the downloads, these are actually the latest downloads that are available right now. I have posted these URLs. So these are different URLs from the ones that are actually in the slides. You can do a quick Google search, or I'm going to post these slides to CF United since there's been updates, and you can actually just take these URLs and go get your latest versions of the Express Edition, which is the database engine itself, and then the Management Studio, which is the primary interface. Two other items I want to talk about that are actually fairly new releases are SQL Server 2005 Books Online. It's probably the best free resource there is to take a look at all the commands, all the interfaces, things like that with SQL Server 2005 Express Edition. I definitely encourage you to download it as well as look for updates from Microsoft. Traditionally, they haven't had a lot of updates out to the Books Online, but they've really changed that paradigm, so you're going to get a lot more information on a more frequent basis, which would definitely be a big help to the developer community. In addition to that, they've also released the samples and sample databases. So you can actually go through and they have sets of downloads based on your machine type. So they have stuff for 64-bit as well as 32-bit. We can actually download that and run those samples directly on your machine. So there's a great way there to get information directly from Microsoft, learn about their database management platform, and be able to take that information and apply it out to your environment. So talking about the installation process, I debated with myself on this about how much detail I wanted to go into. I'm sure everybody here is comfortable, you know, with typical installation processes, and this one is pretty similar. Go through, you know, basically the license agreement, everything gets filed, copied over your machine, go through identifying what configurations you want, your character set, your authentication mode, have a final verification, and boom, you've got SQL Server 2005 Express Edition on your machine. As far as the time takes, it could be anywhere from about 5 to 10 minutes from installation in terms of speed of your machine, all the things you have running. But the installation itself is pretty quick, especially taking a lot of the default parameters. Well, go ahead.
If you want to change your character set later, is it difficult to just simply uninstall and reinstall?
Okay, so the question is, if you want to change your character set, and I'll add sort order to that, what do you have to do? So let me explain that. Does everybody here know what character set and sort order is? Does anybody not know what it is? Okay, a couple people don't. So what I want to explain is the character set and sort order actually defines how the data is stored internally to your databases. So your character set, some of the common ones are actually like a Latin general, where you're actually storing the data in a character type format, as opposed to binary, where you have a binary format where you're actually storing the data in a binary to your database. So when you actually go and configure SQL Server during the initial installation, you have to set your character set in sort order. And by default, it's a character set where it's case insensitive, accent insensitive, candidate type insensitive, which is, you know, very typical for the United States. But looking at other international communities, you can actually go through and take a look at character set and sort orders that are actually unique to your or needed in your environment. So there is support for extended characters. There is support for languages that have additional needs. To actually go ahead and change that, if you want to change that at the server level, you actually have to uninstall and reinstall, as you mentioned. But if you want to change that at a database level, you can actually have databases that have different character sets and sort orders. When you actually go through the installation, or the, I apologize, the creation of your database, you can specify that character set and sort order. Same thing's true at a table level. You can specify, I don't know if you guys have ever actually scripted out a table, you can actually see the character set and sort order for particular columns in some circumstances. So you actually have the ability there that if you need to change your character set and sort order at a column level, you can do so. With all this being said, I definitely encourage you to make sure you understand your character sets and sort orders very carefully. For example, if your character set is case insensitive, all your A's sort together, right? So all your uppercase A's, lowercase A's, uppercase B's, lowercase B's all sort together. But if you have case sensitive character set, all your uppercase letters sort before all your lowercase letters. So lowercase A sorts after uppercase Z. So you want to make sure you understand that and how that's going to impact your data, as well as going to a binary type format and kind of mixing that with a character type format. You definitely want to make sure you understand how that's going to impact your environment. Does that answer your question, ma'am? Okay. One other thing here I'll just talk about as well is the authentication mode. How many authentication modes are there for SQL Server?
Two.
What are they? The answer is two. And what are they? Okay. And the answer is Windows Authentication and Mixed Mode. So with Windows Authentication, you basically don't have any SQL Server standard logins. With Mixed, you can create those SQL Server standard logins. So I just want to make sure everyone's very clear about that, because when you actually configure that during your installation process. Okay, in terms of verifying installation, information is written out to your Windows event log, so you can take a look at that information there, as well as look at your Windows services. One thing here I just want to kind of point out, is I'm actually running a virtual machine on my machine. And might say, well, you know, Express shouldn't require anything like that. Well, you're totally correct. Express does not require to have a virtual machine. What does happen is this, though. When you have multiple versions of SQL Server on one machine, the tool set actually gets overwritten. So I have standard enterprise editions of SQL Server 2005 on my machine. And if I actually go to try to use the Express Edition tools, I get an error message, and I basically use a standard or enterprise edition tool set. So what I had to do is I have a virtual machine on my machine that actually just has just the Express edition. So just in that one instance would be exactly what you would see if you only had the Express edition on your machine. If you have other versions of SQL Server 2005, those tools will take precedence. So if you do start seeing error messages, don't be alarmed. You just have to use those other tools. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Is there a question? You had that same.
So I learned that, I was told to install SQL Server, Service Pack 4 before installing SQL Server 2005 Express, and then you won't have that error. Because it screwed up the whole MMC.
Yeah. So you had an issue. Okay, so the comment was.
It killed my whole day, by the way.
The comment was this gentleman had SQL Server 2000 on your machine, didn't have Service Pack 4. And then when you went to install SQL Server 2005, you started having issues with MMCs. And I think we talked a little bit offline yesterday, and you had quite a bit of problems there. So definitely make sure you have your service packs up to date in the 2000 world. But the other piece here, too, is just in the 2005 world itself, if you just have 2005 on your machine and no instances of 2000, your standard or enterprise edition tool set will actually take precedence over the Express edition. Your problem is certainly a valid one, but a little bit of a different situation. But yeah, I definitely encourage you to make sure your service packs are up to date before you start going to the 2005 world. But thank you for that. Any other questions? Okay. One thing I want to point out here as well is that there's a couple services I just want to make sure everyone's well aware of. In the 2000 world, the service is a comparison again between 2000 and 2005. The services, the core database engine was MSSQL Service, and if you had instances, it was MSSQL Service $ something else. In SQL Server 2005, that's changed a little bit. The database engine itself is SQL Server, and in this instance, I have a named instance of SQL Express. My named instance is in parentheses. I also have the SQL Browser Service, which is actually being used by the SQL Native Access Client, or the SNAC, which is actually used for that initial set of communications. With reporting services, I do have a reporting services instance, as well as a Windows VSS service as well. And by default, if you install all the advanced edition of SQL Server 2005 Express, you should have all these services local on your machine. Okay. We're going to take a look at the first post-installation task. This was the configuration manager this gentleman here was mentioning, this gentleman as well, where they had issues in terms of protocols actually being enabled. So once you verify that your installation's there, your services are there in your services applet, I encourage you to take a look at this tool. I'm going to have this loaded here real quick. And in this tool, you can actually see the services that are running, determine their status, get their process ID and their service type. From here, you can actually go ahead and see your protocols. And as you can see, right now I just have shared memory enabled. So if I'm understanding you correctly, what you had to do was right-click and enable TCP/IP. Is that correct? So then you had to go ahead and restart your SQL Server Express instance to basically have that take effect. Then from there, you're able to get your protocol, or I apologize, your port number, to be able to use that in your connection string.
That's right. I actually went to, by restart, I don't know if they just meant just to close it and reopen it, so I actually closed everything down, and I went to where you're at, the services.
Restarted the service. That's exactly what you have to do. So the comment the gentleman made was he went, enabled TCP/IP, then stopped the SQL Server Express service, then it went back in the tool set, and he was able to build his connection string out to your ColdFusion server, I assume.
You might want to open up TalkFuse and show them where the port is.
Yeah, it was always set to zero, and
it was on TalkFuse. Yeah. Dynamic ports, yeah. By default, that's set to zero. Yeah. And you're good. Yeah. And that protocol should basically continue, or I'm sorry, that port number should basically continue as long as no other configurations change.
Since we're here, what are all those other IPs? Those are not enabled. IP 1, 2, and, you know, why are they 4?
I believe with the SQL Native Access Client, you can actually have multiple IPs to support an application, and that's what these actually relate back to. So it looks like I have a public address here as well as my local loop that I'm actually using. I believe that's why those are there. That's what those are there for. But then as far as the IP all is concerned, that's actually the port that the whole server is listening on. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. So there again, definitely want to make sure everybody knows this step and make sure you enable TCP/IP as well as get the port number. Next item I want to talk through is the Surface Area Configuration Manager. Has anybody seen this tool before? One person, okay. As far as the features for this tool, what Microsoft has done with a couple core features is they've actually taken the configurations out of Management Studio and actually moved them out to this tool. So some of these are related to actual services and remote connections, as well as integration with the CLR and XP command shell. And I want to make sure everyone understands what each one of these features are and understands the implications of using them or not. So when you first load the surface area configuration, the first piece is for services and connections. When you single click on that, what happens is basically there's a load of all the services that are actually running on the machine. So if I had multiple instances of SQL Server, each one of them would be enumerated in this interface. So this interface is not just for Express, just not for the standard edition. It's for any edition of SQL Server that's actually on this machine. So first, I can actually go and take a look at my services, and this is a very similar interface out to the services applet. But there again, just for the SQL Server services. But this next piece is actually very critical. I've actually seen in some situations, depending on how Express is actually pushed out, that local connections only is the selection on this interface. So you'll say, well, Jeremy, you know, why does this make any difference? Well, you go to deploy your applications, and you're building all your applications on your local machine, everything's working great. Then you start trying to get other people to connect to your machine for testing or whatever, and they can't connect. Well, why is that? Well, since this radio button is selected only local connections, so everything you're doing on your local machine is good. But without the remote connections enabled, no one can actually get to your machine. So from a security perspective, this is probably great for doing local development, making sure no one else can get to your machine. But when you need to, you know, release this out to the world and promote this server, or promote this instance, you want to make sure that you have your protocols actually enabled. So you have the opportunity to enable TCP IP only, name pipes only, or both. So I want to make sure that's very clear to everyone. If you actually, the question was, how did I get to this? So if I go to Start, All Programs, Microsoft SQL Server 2005, Configuration Tools, and there's Surface Area Configuration. Okay? And the same thing's true with the first tool. The Server Configuration Manager was the first one we looked at, and it's in the same location as well. Second piece I want to take a look at is Surface Area Configuration for features. And there's two in particular I want to take a look at. The first one is for the CLR. Does everybody know what the CLR is? No. So the CLR is what Microsoft is, it's the acronym for Common Language Runtime. And the Common Language Runtime is actually the ability to execute .NET code within SQL Server. So, you know, we had to go through, and one of the prerequisites was the .NET framework, besides some other reasons. You do have the ability now in SQL Server 2005 to issue .NET code directly. You can build what's called assemblies and be able to actually execute your assemblies, which are managed code, managed .NET code, and be able to execute that directly from SQL Server. So by default, that configuration is off, as is shown on this screen. So if you do want to enable that, you want to enable that functionality, you need to make sure you have that enabled on this interface. Look. The question is there any reason not to enable it? Yeah, as a woman said here, there is some security. Okay. The other comment here is if you're all Cold Fusion developers, you never need to turn it on.
Do we need to turn it on by a store procedure or until we run a store procedure without having to turn it on?
Next comment was do I have to use this configuration in order to execute a store procedure or build a store procedure? If you build a store procedure with T-SQL, there's no need to have this configuration on, but if you want to start building assemblies or functions or anything like that that actually call .NET code, you would have to have this enabled. So this has been actually a pretty big debate in the SQL Server community, and I'm surprised that a lot of this information hasn't hit the Cold Fusion community. So and I actually have some information on one of the slides, and I'll talk through it here real quickly. But .NET, you can actually extend the ability of your database, right? You're really able now to handle features or functionality that were not common to the relational database engine. One example is storing images. I'm sure everybody here has images on their website, right? Okay. So one, you know, what does everybody do? You guys store images in a directory, right? You have a URL or an href out to your image, right? Okay. What some people are trying to do now is actually store their images in the database. So you can't do that with T-SQL code, right? You can't issue an insert statement to store an image, right? So what you can actually start doing is actually using .NET code to actually store that image in the database. Now, is it the most efficient thing to do to build to push out a website? I could probably make the argument that it's not. Having that file out on the file system, having an href out to it is far more efficient. But what if you're a real estate company or you're a mapping company or something like that and you need to store images and you want to be able to have them in a central location? Well, now you have the opportunity to do so. Then get into like data type situations. You know, you guys capture information on your website, store it in your database, or query your database and push it out on your websites, right? Does it make more sense to use .NET or CLR to actually do those quick select statements, insert statements, update statements? No. So I think anything that's data-centric, continue to use T-SQL. T-SQL will outperform the .NET language or the CLR for simple things. But if you're looking to extend the functionality of your database engine, .NET is the way to go. The question is there any inherent performance hit by enabling it? From everything I've seen, there has not been. If you're not calling it, you're not going out to the .NET framework to actually parse the code and return it back to SQL Server. If you're not using it, so to speak, I haven't seen any problems in terms of just turning it on. But the concern I have seen is the same one that this woman had, is that there's a security concern. But I have not seen just a pure performance hit from it. Any other questions? Okay, next piece I want to talk about is XP Command Shell. Does everybody know what XP Command Shell is? Okay, what is it? Anybody? What's that? Rather not explain it. Does everybody know what extended store procedure is? In the master database in the 2000 world, another comparison, there was a set of extended store procedures where actually in most circumstances, there's a DLL that's called that's in one of the bin directories with SQL Server 2000. And what those extended store procedures are is actually probably like a first generation of the .NET assemblies where you can actually extend the functionality of your database engine. And with the XP Command Shell extended store procedure, you actually have the opportunity now, or you've had the opportunity, to actually get out to the operating system. So with XP Command Shell, you can actually run any DOS-type command. So if you want to take a look at file systems, if you want to issue any other DOS commands, you can actually do so through XP Command Shell. Well, that's great, right? You can get out to the file system. You can maybe issue some security commands. Well, at the same time, it can be a very big security hole. Because there again, anything you can do with the file system, you can pass out through XP Command Shell. So one of the things Microsoft has done is give you the ability to actually enable or disable XP Command Shell. So if you have code that's actually using XP Command Shell now, you want to make sure that you do enable this configuration. But hopefully over time, you can try to migrate that out to other options available with SQL Server so you can get away from using XP Command Shell or some of the other extended store procedures. Yes, sir. Okay, so the question was NSA. You said NSA, correct? NSA put out a security document for SQL Server 2000 to try to secure it. And I believe that was the C2 auditing mode, is what you're referencing. That mode is still available in 2005. I can't say that there is another comparable document, but I'm sure it'll be available at some point in time. And I'm sure you can still take a lot of those same principles from 2000 and apply those to 2005. Okay.
Just want to make sure I'm on the right. I have the right idea. In 2000, I used to use CF execute the DTS run. Is that the same?
You could do this. Okay, so the question was you can use a CF execute to actually call DTS run, which is an executable in SQL Server, to execute a DTS package. And a DTS package is a set of basically compiled code to extract, transform, and load data. With XP Command Shell, you can basically do the same thing. You can call that directly from a store procedure and pass DTS run with your username, password, package name, and so on and so forth to be able to perform the same set of commands. Does that answer your question? Okay, awesome. One last thing here I want to look at, and there again, I know just about everybody here is an administrator, but I apologize, a developer, not an administrator. But one other configuration here I just want to mention is this dedicated administrator connection. This is actually an opportunity here that if you do have a problem with SQL Server, you can be able to get a dedicated administrator connection directly from basically Microsoft guarantees you to be able to get a connection even if SQL Server isn't accepting user connections. So you can basically get one connection to troubleshoot the issue without having to restart your SQL Server or anything like that. Well, we just put an article out on MS SQL Tips about this, and definitely, if you're interested, I definitely encourage you to take a look at that. Okay, so I'm going to hop into the management studio here. And go through here a quick demo kind of in the last 20 minutes or so. So what I'm going to do, start off with, is actually creating a new database. Or actually, let's take a step back. I just want to kind of load a couple interfaces here so you guys know by default what's actually available with SQL Server 2005. So as you can see in slide 15, I actually have an object explorer here that's very similar to the MMC interface in SQL Server 2000. I also have a summary view. And I also have the opportunity here to start taking a look at, for example, backup database. I know there was a question about backups. I actually now can drag and drop and get the basic syntax, the basic overall syntax directly from my template explorer and pull that directly into a new query window and be able to change that. Same thing, too, if I wanted to create a database. I can actually get the general syntax for that, be able to fill in the blanks, so to speak, and be able to create my database directly. So you still have the opportunity to build everything with T-SQL, and what Microsoft has done is actually given you a nice template explorer so you can drag and drop that code directly into one of the query windows here. So when you think about this, this overall interface is pretty similar to, especially the interface here on the left, is very similar to Enterprise Manager that everyone saw in SQL Server 2000. And this query window here is very similar to what was available in Query Analyzer. So the first thing we're actually going to do is I'm going to use the GUI to create a database. I'm going to say new database. And I'm going to call it the CF United 2006. Actually, what I should have shown is how to change the character set for you. I'll do that here real quick. I know there was a question about the character set in sort order. You can actually go through and change your collation here, which is basically your character set in sort order, ma'am. So this is the way to actually go ahead and change that. Same thing with your compatibility level and recovery models. So I've taken the defaults there. One of the other items here as a database developer that I think is very beneficial is actually the ability to build database diagrams. So you have the opportunity to graphically build database diagrams. So I'm going to build one real quick. They'll just call in terms of customer service and customer service. So I'm able to basically right-click, add a new table, call that customer. Make this an integer, not allow nulls. I'll just say customer name. And make this varchar 50. And then let's just say customer email. And I'll do the same thing. Make this another varchar 50. Then from here, what I'm able to do is actually right-click, set this as the primary key. I'm going to create another table here real quick. And I'll call this service. And I'll create this as my service ID. Make this an integer, not allow nulls, and just say I have a service name. And be able to create a customer service table. Actually, let me go back, set my primary key and my service ID. Now what I'm able to do is drag and drop my primary key, foreign key relationship. So I have an ID name, my primary table is customer, my foreign key is out to the customer ID table. I'm sorry. Do that one more time. So I'm able to drag and drop, identify my customer table, my foreign key relationship, and be able to do the same thing with my service table. And so the value here, I just want to make sure everyone knows, is you don't have to use those T-SQL commands every time. You can actually build a nice graphical relationship between your tables here. And there again, this is just very quick and dirty. But you do have the opportunity to do this in real time. So you don't have to depend on those T-SQL commands. Another big value here is you can now use these set of commands and these graphs, or I apologize, these ERDs, and take these out to your users so they can see your data as well. Okay, so the question is this available with the standard edition of Express? And that's the case, yes. You can use it with advanced or with the standard edition that's available.
So I've got my Studio Express open and I don't see the options for the table design or the database.
Okay, it's under view and under toolbars, and there's a database diagram toolbar that's available. And then actually to create it, if you right-click on your database diagrams, you can actually create a new database diagram in real time. So I want to make sure everyone does understand that. You do have the opportunity to build this there again in real time. Question?
I haven't used the question in 2000, but this was available in 2000, right?
The same look and feel was available. What I found, though, is not many people were actually using it. They were actually never really had a visual of their data. And that's part of the reason why this is very simple, this is very easy, but people don't know it exists. But yes, this did exist in the 2000 world as well. Question in the back? Okay, the question is, will this create a SQL script for you to actually create these tables? And the answer is yes. When you're actually using this modeling tool, what it really is a true picture of your database at that point in time. So if you go ahead and create tables, you drop tables, create indexes, drop indexes, and you do that in your production database, you are changing your production environment. This is not just a what-if type tool. This is your production environment. So I want to make sure everyone really understands that this is something you just cannot, play with if you're in a production environment. This is really your production environment. Other pieces, too, is yes, you can script it out. And I'll show you actually how to do that as well. You can script out particular objects or your entire database.
Let me just make sure. So if you're in here and you're dropping a table, it's
on. Okay. So the question is, if I actually drop a table out of this model, do I actually lose it? And the answer is yes. In the 2000 world, there was an option to actually remove or drop the table, and I believe the same is true in 2005. What I would recommend doing is, even if you just have one SQL Server instance for budgetary reasons or what have you, is create separate test development and production databases. Do this type of work in your development environment, and then from there, script your changes out, and then push that across. Does that answer your question? Sir? What's actually happening is all the data here is actually being stored in your as part of your system objects. So you have references to sys objects, sys columns. This is just basically a graphical interface. And what they're doing under the covers is really issuing create, alter, or drop statements that actually do perform the actual work. You actually create, yeah. There's a sys references system table where you actually, let me take that back. There's a system table that actually stores your primary key, foreign key relationships. So that data is actually being stored in SQL Server as well. So when you build, when you issue, when you create a table and you say create primary key, and maybe add as an identity or add a an index to that, that information is being stored just the same way as this is. Does that answer your question? There's a system table. There's a system table that stores that. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, I'm going to move on then. I'm going to skip the view slide just for the sake of time, and I'm going to talk about synonyms. Does anybody here use Oracle? A couple people. Does everybody, the Oracle folks, do you guys know what synonyms are? Okay, for everybody who's not using Oracle, synonyms are basically a representation or a virtual object for a table that actually exists, and SQL Server now starts to support that. So what you have the opportunity here to do is create a synonym. And what you're able to do now is create your synonym, we'll call it services 2. I can reference a particular schema, which I believe is TBO that I have. I can reference my server name, and I'm going to say it's SQL Express. I'm able to reference any database now, and I just have a CF United 2006. Changes to test. I'm able to reference another object in that database now. Say that object is a table, and saying that now that table was called service_old. And now what I'm able to do is I'm able to create this synonym that actually references another object. So now in my code, every place where I'm referencing services, under the covers, what SQL Server will start to do is now reference this table called service old in another database. So what I'm able to do now is rather than having to hard code values and be worried about as objects change, I can actually go ahead, create a so to speak, synonym or an alias and be able to reference that out to another environment, which there again is going to save you a lot of time with coding. So if there is a change at one point in time, you can actually go back and create a synonym and then change where that underlying object actually exists, if it's in a separate database, a separate schema, or even a separate server. So there's a great deal of value from my perspective there because there's a lot less code changes that you would have to use. Now, is this a Band-Aid or is this a solution? To me, this is a Band-Aid. At some point in time, you do want to make sure that you can have your information architect or take the time to understand how your data is laid out and make sure that's performing, you know, optimally. But there again, this is one of the new features with 2005. Available with Express. As far as programming is concerned, on slide 21, we talked through a little bit about that already in terms of CLR and T-SQL. And there again, T-SQL is going to be your foundation for all your objects. On slide 22, one of the things I actually want to talk about here a little bit are some of the T-SQL enhancements. And as I have in the slides, I show an example of an opportunity here to really improve the error handling in SQL Server 2005, and that's with the begin try and then begin catch. And this is basically just a new paradigm. If you're used to using begin end statements in your T-SQL code, you can add your try and catch statements to actually get a lot more functionality in terms of catching the error number, severity, state, procedure, so on and so forth. Two other items I just want to talk about here real quickly related to T-SQL commands are the CTE, common table expressions. So if in your code you have hierarchies, you actually now have the ability to use a set of with statements to actually traverse your hierarchy as one SQL statement. Final thing I just want to mention here real quick is the pivot and unpivot code. You actually have the opportunity now to shift columns to rows and rows to columns through the pivot and unpivot code. So now if you're doing a fair amount of reporting and you always have a problem where you're trying to shift data around, you know, your business users want your columns as rows, and what you had to do is use an insert statement, insert into another table, and that, you know, process was pretty costly, you can start using your pivot and unpivot code to actually perform that. It's a keyword. And you can actually use that instead of using an insert statement to actually perform it. And if you want, just for the sake of time, I can show you an example of that later. So we've talked through T-SQL statements. We've talked through CLR versus T-SQL. So there again, you can extend the native capabilities of SQL Server with .NET. But definitely encourage you to keep it simple and have standardized development practices and always consider performance. One of the things I actually want to spend a little bit of time here on in the last few minutes is talking about XML. How many people here use XML every day? Do people actually try to extract data from SQL Server in an XML format? Are you guys using like pull fusion tags or something like that to actually perform that? Okay. Did you guys know that you can actually have a simple select statement that actually extracts data in an XML format? Well, I want to make sure everyone knows that. And I'm just going to have a real quick example here. So I can use a simple statement like select star from So what I'm able to do is use a simple 4XML raw, or 4XML explicit, or 4XML auto. And what actually happens is SQL Server is able to take all, and there again, I have a very simple example. What I'm able to do here is actually extract my data in an XML format. So rather than having to worry about getting my data out into some other format and use some other programming language to do so, I actually can, in a very simple select statement, be able to extract my data directly as XML. Which there again, to me, has a great deal of value. Because now, rather than having to go to some other language, I can stay just in SQL Server, extract my XML, and be able to use that in another application. So in terms of improvements that Microsoft has made for SQL Server 2005, is they now have an XML data type as well as XML indexes. So a lot of organizations that were actually storing XML data in their 2000 world were actually trying to do so in some kind of varchar or some kind of blob type field. Now there's a native support for XML, for XML storage and XML data type. So if you're using XML type parameters and storing that in varchar type fields, now you have an XML data type you can use in your code. You also have the ability to store XML natively, as well as build primary and secondary indexes, as I indicate on slide 24. So now you have the ability to basically extract XML. What about getting it back in? Do you guys actually push XML back into your SQL Server databases? Yes? Okay. Well, now there's the opportunity to use update grams and diffgrams as well to actually handle those insert update processes, which there again is a very simple, straightforward process. You still need to do some validation depending on where you're getting your. So the question is, does SQL Server natively do validation? And yes, there is some validation that is available, but you still should validate basically from the source how that XML is coming in, and is it valid XML based on your business rules? So if somebody's passing in a part number and it's got letters in it when it should only be numbers, that's something you really do need to validate. Question? Okay, so the question is, where would I use this XML data type? If I have a customer table where I'm storing a name, a customer ID, and then some XML, what does that really do for me? One example I've seen is when you actually have to maintain XML documents or store XML documents based on some business exchange, you want to maintain that entire data set as basically a point-in-time record. So what you could do is store your XML as basically a point-in-time and then basically move that data from the XML storage out to a relational storage to better support your application. So you could use it as basically a point in time, or if you're actually using it to, you know, pass data between organizations, you can actually store it just in that XML format. Now, whether you need it for in another format for relational purposes depends on the business need. But you could actually keep it in your XML format and use what's called XQuery to actually query the data as it exists in XML. So you could actually still get to the data in the XML format if you needed to. So does this basically change the way you design databases for, you know, relational-type environments? I'd say it's an opportunity to store data in different formats, but, you know, for performance reasons, I still would make sure you normalize to a reasonable level your databases to make sure that you can support your OLTP, you know, transactions. Does that answer your question? Yeah, you could use an update gram to actually handle that. Well, yeah, it's, unfortunately, it's a little bit more complex than that, but yeah, you could use... Yeah, it is pretty simple. The extraction is pretty simple, but as far as the update gram, there's a little bit more to that.
So SQL Server supports XQuery? It has an XQuery engine in
it? Yes, yeah. So the question is, does SQL Server support XQuery? And yes, it does. So I do apologize. I know there are a couple more questions. I do apologize for the sake of time. I need to stop now. I do apologize. I didn't get to cover everything in this session, but I do hope it was very valuable. I do hope many of your questions were answered. Well, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it, and definitely hope you enjoy the rest of CF United.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.